Good morning and welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me on Easter Sunday. And may all of you have a terrific Easter. I often think of Easter as the kickoff to the spring really being underway, and particularly this year, the late Easter. It should hopefully be so. Last week it was a pleasure to be on Steve Cochran's show in the morning. I hadn't done that in a while, and Steve was so kind to have me come in and talk a little bit about 50 years of the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio. And obviously, I haven't been the host for 50 years, as I pointed out to Steve, but this is my 20th year on the radio for WGN. And so it was fun to talk to Steve about some of the things that the Great Outdoors Show has been able to accomplish through the years as we move from a show that was about where to go fishing or where to go hunting or where to go camping long before the internet existed, to a show today which is topical on conservation issues both in the greater Chicago region and throughout Illinois, as well as the Midwest and the whole country. So it's nice to see you to have me on. I always enjoy being on a show, and certainly his new studio at WGN is gorgeous. Not quite the same as being on Michigan Avenue when people would knock on the window when you're having a serious conversation with someone, and some of the faces of people waving at you on the window, not quite so distracting. But this morning, I do want to build a little bit about what I talked about with Steve on the air last week, and that is the national impact, or the impact of WGN Radio through the Great Outdoors Show on conservation and on our environment. And this past week, after being in the studio, I went down to the state of Mississippi, into the Mississippi Delta, where I've spent a lot of time over the years. And the purpose of this trip was to be with a member of the Mississippi River Levee Board Commission at a time of the year when there is profound flooding taking place in what they call the Mississippi Delta in the state of Mississippi, which really begins in Vicksburg. And as they say, it begins in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel in Vicksburg in Memphis, and ends on the bluff where the Yazoo River comes into Vicksburg. So from Memphis to Vicksburg is what in the vernacular is known as the Mississippi Delta. While others think of the Mississippi Delta, obviously, as the mouth of the river, south of New Orleans at Venice, Louisiana. So the flooding that is so terrible again this year has about 500,000 acres underwater in the Yazoo Basin backwater, which is where, if you think about geography a little bit, you've got the Mississippi running south, you've got Memphis on the north end of the Delta, and the Yazoo River is on the east side before the Delta moves up into the hills. It's the old alluvial plain of the Mississippi River, and they can converge. The Yazoo goes into the Mississippi just above Pittsburgh. So that area is one of the most fertile farming areas anywhere in the world. It also, at one point, was entirely forested. It had over 4 million acres of bottomland hardwoods, birch and cypress, all the most valuable trees that we have on our continent, really were in the Mississippi Delta. And most of that's been long cleared. We're down to just a few 100,000 acres of scattered woods, with National Forest, Delta National Forest, being the hub of it. But this is the sort of, in a way, it's one of the places where the future of the Mississippi River and how flooding is going to be handled is going to be decided. And we're sitting here in Chicago, relatively high and dry, except when we get, you know, internal flooding in our own small streams. We don't realize what's taking place south of us, which over time has become a huge financial issue, and also going forward is likely to only get worse. And for those of you who've listened to me for a long time, you know that I don't mind from time to time questioning the Army Corps of Engineers, either for how it spends money or for some of the more interesting ideas that the Corps has. And that saying that all pigeons come home to roost, what we're seeing now is the failure of nearly 100 years of flood control policy on the Mississippi River. And I'm sure immediately, whether it's in Rock Island or St. Louis or Vicksburg, Corps of Engineers are coming out of their chairs saying, what do you mean the failure of the Army Corps of Engineers? We have saved the Mississippi River from changing its course, and we have enabled all this farmland to exist, and we've enabled these cities to be built in floodplains. And that's precisely my point. The Corps of Engineers has decided it is God over the Mississippi River as opposed to nature taking its course. And so far, the Mississippi River is basically saying, no, we, Mother Nature, is bigger and stronger than anything you can do to stop us, to stop this river from doing what it wants to do. And the Corps has succeeded in stopping the Mississippi River from jumping into the Atchafalaya and no longer going through New Orleans. That occasion would have been a natural occurrence, as Logan Russell so ably described to us a few weeks ago, that the Mississippi, over time, has had several mouths and to the Gulf, and it's always going to take the shortest and straightest route. And by nature, if we didn't exist, sometime, ironically, in the 1960s or 70s, the Mississippi would have jumped. It would have left its main channel and cut through and gone into the Atchafalaya, and New Orleans and Baton Rouge would be backwater swamp towns instead of major centers of commerce. It just happened that geologically, that time period would have been in the 1960s or 70s. And every 300 to 400 years, the river has made a major jump. It just happened. This was its time. Well, the Corps of Engineers stopped that from happening through a series of levees and water control structures. But what has happened now, and why this is such an incredibly important issue to the future of commerce and conservation, and why I spend time talking about it here in Chicago, is that what we do in Chicago and elsewhere in the upper Midwest is in large part going to determine the fate of the lower Mississippi, New Orleans, Memphis, Baton Rouge, what happens in the lower river, Natchez, because the amount of water coming down the river is unprecedented in its volume, and it has nowhere to go. The Corps keeps building, Corps of Engineers keeps building higher and higher levees on both sides of the river. And if you've ever driven down Highway 55, leaving Illinois, you cross over the Mississippi, actually on 57, and hit Sikeston, Missouri, then you head south, off to your left is this levee, and the levee only gets bigger as you go further south. So the Mississippi River is totally contained in its search to the Gulf. But we're speeding up the amount of water coming down because of the millions and millions of acres of drain tiles that are under farm fields now. And also think about the amount of land that is under pavement that used to be able to absorb runoff. And we see it in the Des Plaines River, you know, a little bit of a rain, and boom, the Des Plaines River's out of its banks. And people who've lived along the Des Plaines or used it for a long time in the Illinois State never used to be like this. Well, we have replumbed the hydrology, if you will. So the lower Mississippi is beginning to face a crisis point. The duration of flooding is longer, the frequency of flooding is longer, and the flood levels are much higher. So ever since the 1927 major Mississippi flood, when the Corps of Engineers has come in and replumbed, if you will, the lower Mississippi, we've been building to this point. And we're sitting here on Easter Sunday in Chicago. At some point in the next few years, there is likely to be a colossal change in the lower Mississippi. Not saying the river's going to jump into the Atchafalaya, but there's going to be levee overtopping, there's going to be levee breaks, and the Corps has reached the point where it doesn't have any more room to go. The levees can go higher, but that's not stopping what's happening now, because the speed of the water coming down the Mississippi is faster than the outlet. So think of a bathtub, you fill it with water, and you've got a very small drain. The more water you put in it, the higher the bath water goes. That's what's happening in the Mississippi. We keep putting more and more water in the Mississippi River, and the outlet is a fixed size. So it has nowhere to go, and it actually, even though the current's still flowing south, the lower Mississippi is actually backing up. So enough on the Mississippi, but it was a phenomenal couple days in the lower Mississippi River Delta. I drove through much of the acreage. It's flooded. It's not an area where many people live. It's actually not an area where people should live. And it is an area that should flood, but the fact that it's now flooded for 3 months
and is likely to be underwater for several more, is just an indication of the problems we have. And if we think here in Illinois about the situation, if we had 500,000 acres underwater for months on end, think about how people will be screaming in Illinois to fix it. So they're screaming at the Corps of Engineers to fix it, and there is no fix, at least not an easily fixed one, easy solution. So I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show, and I'll talk when I do about what happens to wildlife briefly in these kind of situations, because the devastation for wildlife, whether it's flooding on the Illinois River, on the Kaskaskia River, on the Mississippi River, wherever it takes place, it can take a terrible toll on wildlife. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same quality. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space in the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. Happy Easter to all of you just joining me, and hope it's a great Easter Sunday for you. I was talking before the break about what's taking place in the lower third of the Mississippi River, which is going to have, I believe, a profound impact on all of us at some point in time in the not-too-distant future, whether that's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. There's going to be a major event that's going to change the way we look at the Mississippi. And you can say you heard it first here on WGN Radio. But I wanted to follow up also with the consequences to wildlife of this flooding, not just in the Mississippi, but in the Illinois and the Kaskaskia and the Des Plaines. And we look at the pictures, or if we live along the Des Plaines or drive along the Des Plaines, we can see what happens when the river comes up much higher than it ever used to. We don't think about the consequences to wildlife. They are devastating. When you put, as happened in the state of Mississippi, roughly 500,000 acres underwater for a period of extended period of time, and it's one of the most wildlife-rich areas on the entire Mississippi alluvial plain, you destroy wildlife. And in my tour this week of the lower Mississippi, the only dry land are the roads we were driving on, and most of them are closed. But the roads are actually man-made levees across the Mississippi Delta so that you can traverse the delta when there's a little bit of water, but there's this much water, you can't go out of it. And standing on the shoulders of these roads are deer and turkey and wild hogs. Of course, wild hogs are trying to be exterminated because they are not native and they are causing incredible damage. Bears, black bears, and you have every terrestrial animal confined to a little tiny strip of dry land. There's no nesting going on. Turkeys have absolutely nowhere to nest. And you look for a span of over 20 miles across, and there is no dry land for over 20 miles. It's a lake that's anywhere from a foot to 10 feet deep for 20 miles across. It's dotted with a few trees, and you see floating, chemical tanks, and you see floating gas tanks, and you see grain bins underwater. That sort of damage is part of the territory. It's a floodplain. It's going to flood, but not to the duration we're seeing now. And this is true in the Illinois, too. One of the reasons the Illinois River is having such a difficult time with turkeys is because they're constantly flooded out. They can't succeed. But go down to an area where you put 500,000 acres underwater, and the only habitat are roads. There are dead deer all over the roadside. They can't help themselves. You can't help but hit a deer. Turkeys running up and down the road. They have nowhere to go, nowhere to nest. They've lost an entire season. So the consequences of flooding for wildlife, while a natural event in nature and something that we've had since the beginning of time, we have so altered the height of the flooding and we have so altered the duration of the flooding that we, in fact, are really damaging wildlife populations along our most valuable wildlife corridors, our riparian areas, not to mention what we do to the trees that are underwater during the growing season and how that stunts ultimately the value of timber and the ability of trees to grow. So I think we're at the beginning of a cycle that is going to take place without end in sight of where we've so altered the landscape, we've reached the breaking point, the tipping point, if you will, where now in the Illinois River, flooding is a common occurrence. If you're on an island on the Mississippi River, it's underwater more often than not. And all of this, going back to what I started with, are rechanging the plumbing, the hydrology of the Mississippi alluvial plain is going to have catastrophic consequences for us unless we figure out a way to slow down the amount of water coming into the Mississippi watershed. And there are lots of ways to do that, none of them very politically popular, and I won't today go into that. But I thank you for listening. I hope you have a very happy Easter. And next week I'll be back with much more on the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.